Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Tuesday, October 6th. What did the president know, and when did he know it? You know that phrase from Watergate. I wonder if there is a deadly COVID gate, let's say potentially deadly COVID gate, brewing in New Jersey. The president knew he had been exposed to the coronavirus before he attended a top dollar fundraiser with more than 200 donors on Thursday. But he didn't disclose it to anyone there. Is he criminally liable or subject to lawsuits if people who were there get sick or die? 8 hours later, he announced he tested positive, but he had symptoms on the day. And now there's potential for a full-on outbreak in the White House, too. For an update on the situation in the White House and in New Jersey, I'm joined now by Anita Kumar, White House correspondent and associate editor at Politico and a board member of the White House Correspondents Association, and there's news on that front, and Nancy Solomon, managing editor for New Jersey Public Radio and New Jersey editor at WNYC. Nancy and Anita, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having
Brian.
Me.
So early this morning, if I may start on this news, Axios reported that the COVID outbreak in the White House has now reached the press corps. Zeke Miller, president of the White House Correspondents Association, said in a letter to colleagues that at least three members of the White House press corps have tested positive for the virus. Anita, as a board member of the White House Correspondents Association, what more can you tell us?
Yes, that's right. We announced that three members had, and we have been encouraging White House reporters since the beginning, for months now, to wear masks, be careful when they come in, and really just not be at the White House to work or come to briefings if they're not supposed to be there. So, generally before coronavirus, there were dozens, hundreds even of reporters there at any one time, and there's lots of desks for people to work at, and we're just trying to limit that.
Are you identifying the names of the infected journalists?
We aren't. I know that one person has talked about it, and that's a colleague of mine at the New York Times, Mike Scheer, has talked about it publicly, that he has it and he is working from home and seems to be doing relatively okay.
Was he at press briefings run by the White House press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, who doesn't wear masks at these briefings and acknowledged yesterday that she has tested positive?
Yeah, it's really hard to tell where everybody, both the aides that have gotten it and also the press corps, exactly where this started or where it came from. I believe Mike has mentioned that he went on a trip with the president the Saturday of the Rose Garden event that everybody's sort of talking about. But I don't believe he was at that Rose Garden event. But he did travel on a trip to one of those campaign rallies that the president had. It's very hard to sort of track down exactly how this has happened. When you look at, the White House is actually not saying which different aides have it, but, word has leaked out on a variety of levels. So we know there have been people in the White House residence. Obviously, we have heard about all sorts of people that were in the Rose Garden or other aides. But, there's also people from the outside. So you don't actually know where it started. I suppose that's what contact tracing is for, in that health officials can try to figure out exactly how this started. And of course, there are a lot of people still testing this week, reporters and staffers, because, you may be exposed, but the incubation period is a little bit longer, so it might not show up right away.
I've heard that there isn't 100% cooperation from the White House with contact tracers for various of these events and people who are potentially exposed. Is that an issue right now between the White House Correspondents Association and the White House?
Well, I can tell you this, that the White House says they are doing contact tracing, but I can also tell you that I've spoken to people that were at various events who haven't been contacted. So, it's either not happening or they're slow to do that. So it's a little bit confusing, really, what's happening right now. And as you know, it's not just the White House per se. It is the president, and I know we'll get to this part about New Jersey, but the president was in many states last week. So it's also all these other events and other states, and then Air Force One as well. So it's not just one time, one place, one event. It's all over the place.
In New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy is seeing an uptick in coronavirus cases in the state, and he's upset about the possible consequences. We don't know what they are yet. Of the Bedminster fundraiser. Here he is at a press briefing yesterday.
We wish everybody who's been infected, beginning with the president, the first lady, Governor Christie, anyone else who's been infected, we wish them nothing but a speedy recovery, full recovery. They are in our deepest thoughts and prayers. But as it relates to the event that took place on Thursday in New Jersey, with the knowledge that they had before they left for New Jersey, that there was exposure to a COVID positive individual, that trip was completely unacceptable, completely reckless, and completely uncalled for.
So, Nancy Solomon from New Jersey Public Radio, what's known about any spread from the Bedminster event?
Well, what they know is that there were 206 people at the event, and that includes 19 people who work for the golf club. The state is trying its best, both the state health department and the local officials in Somerset County, where the golf club is located, are trying to do contact tracing. And one of Governor Murphy's big beefs right now is that he's not getting enough help from the White House or the National Republican Committee. And so they got 184 email addresses. They're missing information, any information on 22 people. But they don't, having someone's email is not enough. They want phone numbers, they want addresses. They're getting mixed results as they try to reach people via email. So, you know, they're concerned that this could turn into, a super spreader event for New Jersey.
And the initial list of the 206 donors, that's the number I've seen, 206 donors who attended that fundraiser. The initial list from the White House did not contain phone numbers, as I understand it, but eventually the state got access to them. So here's Governor Murphy again and the state's health commissioner, Judith Persichelli, at that press briefing yesterday on how some donors were responding to being contacted through the contact tracing system.
Some not so positive that...
Including, how did you get my name?
Yeah, well, that is...
The Republican National Committee, for anyone who's watching, is where we got your name.
Huh. So, Nancy, do you know how successful the contact tracing attempts related to the Bedminster fundraiser have been so far? And do you know the degree of non-cooperation among people who were there and are being contacted?
Yeah, well, I know a little bit more from what they said around that exact moment during the press briefing yesterday. So there, it's a very mixed results. Some people are cooperating. Some people thank them for getting in touch. And according to Judy Persichelli, the health commissioner, some people said, I'll tell, other people I know who were there. But they're also getting resistance from others. And, I interviewed Rick Maida, who is running for Senate against Cory Booker. He's the GOP candidate. He was at the event. And he said the governor is fear-mongering, that there's nothing to worry about, that he never came anywhere near close to the president, and that he wasn't quarantining. He was actually going to campaign events in person this weekend.
The comedian Joe Piscopo was one of the people who attended that fundraiser. And Nancy, you pulled this clip. Let's listen.
He's got doctors with him. I imagine he's got the top docs with him. He's got everybody. So whatever you may think happened, I would really check that it did happen, because I know he's very careful. And you know one thing you have to understand? The president, like myself, is a germaphobe.
Is that generally the mood among those donors and attendees?
So far, I can't say I've talked to a lot of them, because most of them didn't want to talk to me that I reached out to, but So far, there's been a lot of defensiveness. And just to be clear, Joe Piscopo was responding to my question was, do you have any qualms about the president coming on this trip, given that he knew he had been exposed to COVID through Hope Hicks? And that was his response. So people are, they're going to support Trump no matter what, the supporters. And that was also, that was the response on Friday. I think, hopefully we're not going to see people get sick from this event. But if people start getting sick, I think we're going to see a real difference there in how people are responding.
Anita Kumar, White House correspondent for Politico. How is the White House talking about the Bedminster fundraiser event in retrospect, now that it's clear that the president was at least aware of his exposure before participating and from what I understand, was experiencing symptoms at that time already? Maybe you can confirm or refute that part.
Well, it's been really confusing, as you've probably seen since, when the president announced on Friday that he had tested positive. It's been very confusing because
Thursday night, really, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, right after midnight, really. Because they keep their information is conflicting, right? So we're getting different information from different people at the White House and at the Trump campaign. What we do know is that he had tested positive from one of those rapid tests, but was awaiting the findings of that more comprehensive test that takes a little bit longer, but that was still after he returned. So what returned from New Jersey. So, exactly what he knew earlier is actually a source of confusion. Hope Hicks, you're right, did test positive. And what several people have said is, well, that was a very small group of people that knew about that. In fact, the press secretary, who you mentioned has now tested positive, said, oh, well, she didn't know that at that time.
Did the president know that Hope Hicks had tested positive when he went to Bedminster? That's an important fact.
Yeah, that is important. And I don't know the answer to that because I've been told two different things on that. And I've heard from various, White House officials, two different things. What they're saying is that he didn't know until and didn't announce and didn't tell people until that second test. And that was much later. That was late that night. So we don't know exactly, but we do know that people in the White House, including Hope Hicks, knew that she had it tested positive and that he could have been potentially exposed there. So, I mean, we do know that, and there are a lot of people asking, not so much about some of the other events in the week, and there had been many of them, but really focused on this New Jersey event.
And one of the reasons there's so much focus on the New Jersey event, Nancy, I believe, is because part of it was an indoor round table with 16 of the highest dollar donors. I read that you had to donate $250,000 to buy that degree of access. But 16 people indoors with the president. So presumably that would have been a riskier place to be with him than the larger group outdoors, where maybe there was more distancing. We also saw at least one couple post on Instagram a photo of them with the president at the Bedminster event. So somebody got close to him. But is there a distinction being made between that round table and other parts of the event?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is more concern about the people who were inside with the president, including people who work at the golf club, but also these VIP donors who gave a lot of money. There were a number of executive order violations. So, the executive orders are the orders that the governor has signed restricting all sorts of things during the pandemic. And, we're under a state of emergency and these orders have the force of law. So coming from out of state, coming from out of state, there's a long list of states that you must quarantine if you come from out of state. Knowing that you've been exposed and coming from out of state makes it worse. They served food at a buffet table. That is in violation of the governor's executive order. The indoor gathering, they're investigating and looking at whether it exceeded the capacity for what's allowed given the executive orders. You know, I was told by one administration official in the Murphy administration that the golf club could lose its liquor license and face other penalties for violating these executive orders.
Is it your impression, reporting as you do on the national level, that is typical of Trump supporters around the country, that because a lot of people have died in previous pandemics or epidemics or whatever, and we didn't engage in national mask wearing and selective economic shutdowns to control those epidemics, that we shouldn't do it now?
I mean, that's sort of what I'm hearing. I guess the main argument I would say that I'm hearing from people that don't want to shut down, including the president, is that there are consequences, and this is true, of course, there are consequences to shutting down. You can see them in people's mental health. You can see them in how children are trying to learn virtually in school, which has been really tough on a lot. You can see it in the economy. So, of course, there are consequences to shutting down and all those things. It's a balancing act, of course. And they're basically saying, you know, it's going to be more harmful if we do shut down.
From Somerset County, which is the county that includes Bedminster, Nat in Somerset County, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, Brian, good morning. It's an honor to talk to you today.
And to have you.
I'm just calling in just to voice my, you know, anger with the president and the fact that he potentially started a super spreader event in my own county. I'm studying to get my MPH at Rutgers, and the fact that the president potentially started this massive event 5 minutes down the road from my house just like gets me so upset, especially given that my father was you know, infected with COVID and almost died back in March. So just to hear his negligence and the fact that he's just brushing it off, saying that he's cured and everything, it just gets me really angry. And I was just wondering if you think he's really going to be held accountable for this. I mean, even if it's not a super spreader event, the fact that he knowingly went after having positive contact is just so, so upsetting. So I was just wondering if you actually think he'll be held accountable.
Nat, can I get your reaction as someone whose father, you say, almost died from COVID, to this that the president said yesterday?
Don't be afraid of it. You're going to beat it. We have the best medical equipment. We have the best medicines, all developed recently. And you're going to beat it.
Nat?
Well, I was listening to your show yesterday, and I think one of your guests made an amazing point. The president should have been the last person to get infected. With the amount of testing and the amount of precautions he had been taking, he should have been the last person to get COVID. So the fact that he actually got COVID and now he's flaunting that he's healed with all of the resources at his disposal makes me even more, like, you can't even write this stuff. It's insanity, at the least. Like,
Nat,
I just can't.
Nat, thank you. So you're speechless. Thank you very much, and I'm glad it sounds like your father is okay. So, Anita Kumar, his question is, will the president be held accountable for this? Let me just try to get you to pin down one additional fact from the Bedminster timeline to the best of your ability. Was he experiencing symptoms at Bedminster? We understand that he shortened the Minnesota rally the night before. To what degree can we say he was experiencing symptoms at Bedminster?
Well, you know, he hasn't said that. We do know that people that have seen him, that saw him both at that rally and then in New Jersey, said that he seemed to be not himself and fatigued. But, you know, we haven't heard from them directly or from him directly on how he was feeling that day. So I'll leave it out there that there are many, many things we don't know. And I didn't mention this earlier, but I will now. One very important fact that they refused to answer is when the president had his last negative test. So it's very important to know that because he went to so many different states, including New Jersey, when including this debate where the vice former Vice President Joe Biden was. When did he have that last negative test? They won't say if he's tested daily or when that last negative test. They say they don't want to go look backwards. They want to move forward. But that is a really, really key point. And just to the caller's other point about consequences, you know, I don't know. I don't know about New Jersey, but I will tell you that the Trump campaign goes to different states, has different rallies where there aren't people wearing masks, where the numbers exceed what the state is allowing. And I haven't really seen any consequences to that.
Nancy Solomon from New Jersey Public Radio. There's been at least one criminal case in New Jersey already this year where a home health aide failed to disclose to a client, allegedly, that she had been exposed to someone who was COVID positive and was awaiting her own results. That's a criminal charge. If it's determined that Trump was feeling symptoms and knew about Hope Hicks, there could be criminal charges, it seems to me. Is anybody in New Jersey's law enforcement or attorney general's office or anyone talking about that?
Yeah, Brian, Governor Murphy mentioned yesterday that this is all a matter for the attorney general and that he anticipates that the attorney general's office will be investigating. He doesn't control the attorney general's office, and he tries to keep an arm's length distance to give them the independence that you want from the attorney general. But what he did say was that in all of these cases where someone violated either an executive order or, you know, just basic, you know, New Jersey law in terms of reckless endangerment of somebody else, that's all something for the attorney general to take up.
So Anita Kumar, White House correspondent for Politico, last question. Are people looking at our healthcare system and saying, gosh, if I get COVID, I should be able to check myself into maybe not Walter Reed, but somewhere, and get the polyclonal antibodies and the remdesivir and the steroids that the president got at that level of early intervention?
Well, I think it's mixed. I think you are seeing people, just like you guys are talking about, saying, you know, I wish I could do that. I that would make me feel safer. It would feel better, especially for loved ones. And there, but at the same time, there is obviously a recognition that less with Chris Christie, of course, but more with President Trump, that he's the president of the United States. And that he has a team of doctors. If you've seen these press conferences, it's not one doctor. And, you know, he is he's the president of the United States, and he's going to get the best care that there is in this country. So I think that people understand that, realize that that has nothing to do with him being Donald Trump. That would be any person in that job is going to get that state of the art care, both at the White House. And if they choose to take him somewhere else like Walter Reed, then it would be there. But yes, I mean, to me, there's more people talking here about, boy, his doctors thought he should go to the hospital, and now he's leaving quickly, when the doctor said yesterday he's not out of the woods yet. Why is he leaving? Is he leaving too early? I'm actually hearing more about that. But I think there is discussion now about healthcare in this country, and you know, this idea that if you need it, you can get it. If you're battling coronavirus, and there's just not, still after all these months, there's still not an idea or a thought that you really can get what you need: testing and treatment.
Anita Kumar, White House correspondent and associate editor at Politico. Nancy Solomon, managing editor for New Jersey Public Radio. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at wnyc.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.